Well, I see Christina Keneally's had a crack at Prime Minister Scott Morrison over a couple of recent images that showed him attending church on Easter Sunday. Now, you'll recall the PM himself recently had a crack of his own at Bill Shorten. That was because Bill was doing all of his exercise and his jogging in public. Scott Morrison said, look, if you want to get fit, just do it in private, Bill. So Keneally's jumped in and referenced the Gospel of Matthew that says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners and pray so people will see them. Do it in private, etc., etc., etc. Now, look, all of this, as they say, is sort of in the Canberra bubble, isn't it? Keneally, though, of course, a devout Catholic. Morrison, a strong Protestant. And overall, our federal parliament, I think it's true to say, has a number of Christians that openly wear their religion on their sleeve. But whilst all of this nonsense went on, yesterday, a group that I have to admit I'd not come across before, the National Secular Lobby, launched their manifesto for election 2019. Now, they reference an Ipsos poll from 2016 that showed nearly 80% of Australians want personal religious faith to be separate from the business of government. Now, I don't know if that extends to what politicians say on Twitter, but I guess this makes a bit of sense because Australia is technically a secular state. That is, we don't have an official state religion that gets preference or protection above all of the others. But I have often wondered, how can we expect our leaders, who may have a religious leaning one way or the other, to leave all of that at the door when it comes time to vote on a whole bunch of issues, including controversial issues like euthanasia or abortion or indeed school funding? Well, perhaps Chris Schott, who is an ambassador with the National Secular Lobby, can answer that question in just a sec. I'll speak with him. But yesterday at the lobby's launch, he said, and I quote, "Few could argue that in Australia today, we continue to be heavily influenced by Catholic and Anglican doctrines." Well, he referenced a number of examples, from policy to the practical, including the prayers delivered before each sitting day, and indeed the Red Mass that our judiciary hold each year. Now, as you can imagine, the secular lobbies see these things as problematic. I know many of you don't, some of you do. So I thought we'll find out a bit more. As I said, Chris Schott is an ambassador with the National Secular Lobby. He was also a former Labor senator in South Australia. He joins me on the line. Chris, thanks for your time.
Good to be with you.
I don't know if I've ever spoken to someone from the National Secular Lobby before, but just look in a sort of simplistic sense, tell me and my listeners what you're all about.
Well, we've only been formed in the last less than 12 months, and we're a small group. We represent and are supported by a whole range of organisations that are called humanists, rationalists, atheists, etc. All organisations that believe we should run and have policies in a society based on rules that are not religiously based and are not dominated by individual rules that a particular religion wants to impose their view on the rest of us.
Okay.
So that's the basis of what we are and what we're about.
Okay, that seems pretty straightforward. Now, in the speech you gave yesterday, you said Australia remains a soft theocracy, still influenced by hierarchies and doctrines determined by church headquarters, and they are overseas. You make the point the Archbishop of Canterbury in England or the Vatican City in Rome. But are we really? I mean, how many people in Parliament would even know who the Archbishop of Canterbury is, let alone what he says?
That's almost the point, isn't it? Is that many people would not know who the Archbishop of Canterbury is personally, but the Archbishop of Canterbury runs the Church of England. And go to further, who is the head of the overall Church of England? It's the Queen of the United Kingdom. She is the head of the church. She is also our head of state. But what we say, and a broader issue, is why most of us support Australia becoming a republic, so that our head of state is not the leader, in formal sense, of any particular religion, because that means we try to impose a view on others in our society who are not members of that particular religion or any other religion.
Of course, if we were to become a republic, we'd either vote or the president would be selected. If we go by past governor generals, a bunch of them have been either religious men themselves or have had close affiliation. I mean, you couldn't really rule out, could you, that, for example, a former Anglican dean could be voted in as the governor general?
Yes, of course. But if they were voted in a republic sense, they wouldn't be. They would be our head of state, but they wouldn't be head of state because they supported a particular religion. They would be because our constitution says anybody can be elected or appointed to be our head of state. And that is completely different from saying our head of state is automatically the head of the Church of England, which means that's a religious connection. We don't believe in that, and we think overwhelming majority of Australians think that we should all our religion, we should all have freedom of religion, of course, but we should also be free from religion if we don't have a particular belief.
Let's just go through this secular state idea a little, because I think that's at the core of all of this, isn't it? I mean, the National Secular Lobby would argue, rightly, that Australia is a secular state. But I suppose this is all comes down to the definition. I mean, as far as I can ascertain, Chris, a secular state is a state without a state religion. I mean, Iran, for example, has the state yes. religion as Islam, and even England yes. has Anglicanism as the state religion. Australia has no such thing. So technically we are a secular state, are we not? We don't have a state religion. No religion's legally preferenced over any other out here.
That is true, and that goes further, is that if that's the case in our constitution, our own Australian constitution, therefore we should ensure that our laws that our parliament makes are also not given advantage to a particular religious group. And there are laws in Australia and decisions taken by the parliament that do favour particular religions. And we have, in this campaign, raised a couple of specific issues as secular that we don't support in any way the present chaplaincy agreement, where the federal government pays money to employ religious people to go into state-run, government-owned schools to act as some sort of counsellors. And we point out that since that was started by John Howard in 2007, nearly $1 billion has been spent on employing many hundreds, if not thousands, of these chaplains to go into school because they are from a particular religion, Christian religion. And we don't think the state should be paying money for people to go into a state school, a non-religious school, and therefore use their influence to advise students about matters. They should be professional counsellors with proper training, not because they belong to any particular religion, who go in, of course, and advise students and provide counselling to help them in their development of their education and their career.
Okay, now one of the other issues that you're interested in, of course, is this issue of voluntary euthanasia, and I suppose you see yep. that as being held back by the religious votes or those with religious affiliation in the parliament saying, no, we're not going to go forward with this. But, I mean, on that issue, I've spoken to a bunch of people about this over the years, as you can imagine. Now, I mean, there are lots of non-religious people that I know that are worried about changing the laws around euthanasia. They're non-religious, but they're worried because of X, Y, and Z reasons. And there are even some religious politicians in the parliament that have reservations about it as well, but not necessarily based off their religious background or what they've read in the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or anything like that, but based off other concerns about people being taken advantage of in a vulnerable state and these sort of matters. I mean, I suppose the point I'm raising here, Chris, is how does one determine that, for example, euthanasia isn't legal in Australia because of religious influence? I mean, it may be a factor, but it may not be the deciding factor.
Well, when over recent years, when the issues of the issue of euthanasia, voluntary euthanasia, it has now been carried in the state of Victoria last year, and the strongest opposition to the debate about that legislation came from organised Christian churches and Christian lobby groups, and they used their influence to try and get it stopped.
But you can't. But with that said, you can't really stop them lobbying and then allow, for example, your group to lobby.
Of course. But what we say is that we want laws made up whereby people with different views express those views, but they don't have a belief that as a Christian, they have a superior right to impose on others that view because they're Christian and they have, as I say, a special right. Now, ultimately in Victoria, the legislation was carried and it comes into operation in a month's time in Victoria.
And a bunch of Christians voted for it as those that did not. Yes.
Of course. On a lot of these issues, Christian people with a religious view, Christian view, did vote for it. And there are people who aren't Christian who are opposed to it. But the debate should not be, in our view, entangled by a religious view that is something special. And that is what the Christian lobby groups have often argued around the place. Now, it's getting, I'm pleased to say, in my view personally, their strength is getting weaker as more and more people get a better understanding through our system of democracy, our system of more information being available, and people being able to make up their own minds. And that's what the sort of society we believe is better for everybody, in which you have freedom of religion, but you also have freedom from religion in the way the country is organised.
Okay, just one last one, because I mean, we could talk for hours about this, because I think it's a very, it's not a small topic, it's not an easy topic, and you and I come at this from different points of view, but I'm enjoying hearing your point of view. But how can we really, and I've had discussions with personal friends of mine who take a similar, I suppose, point of view to you, Chris, but how can we really extract, say, the Christian ethos out of the parliament? I mean, okay, you can get rid of the prayers and all this sort of stuff, but I mean, you take someone, okay, let's put forward a very high-profile, easy example, Tony Abbott. Tony Abbott's elected by the good people of Warringah to represent that part of Sydney in the federal parliament. They know who he is, they know his background, and they vote him in. So he goes in and he votes how either the party tells him or he sees fit on different issues. I mean, he is democratically elected. So, and there's many people like him with the same belief, Catholic, Anglican, Jewish, Muslim, whatever. They're influenced by their religion in the same way, I suppose, you're influenced by having no religion. Now, how can we say to them on any issue, really, oh, well, look, you can't have any of that religious stuff influence how you vote? I mean, it's part of their DNA.
Yes, and we are, of course, openly democratic. On all of it, and that everyone's opinion, as you just say, even Tony Abbott, and I'm on the other side of politics.
Yeah, I understand.
Has a legitimate right to express his view, and as I think he makes it pretty clear, I think in one form, he's a practicing Christian Catholic. Fine. What we, for example, we don't believe that he and others should vote public money raised from all taxpayers to go into a program like the chaplaincy, which gives a particular advantage to the Christian religion vis-a-vis other religions or those of us who are not religious.
Okay, but what about the euthanasia debate where there's not necessarily money involved anywhere?
We believe that debate should be on a range of ethical issues individually so that there is not a camp that the organised religious groups don't use their power and their influence to try and convince members of parliament, because of a religious connection, they should not vote for it.
But how can you stop them? This is the point. How can you stop them? Because in a democracy, they have a right to represent their point of view to the politicians just as you do.
Yes, and so long as it's clearly what I would say I'd be happy with, so long people understand that a religious group, whatever it may be, not even just Christian, on the issue with euthanasia, is using its influence to lobby and pressure their own particular members of parliament to vote against it. I was in the Australian Senate when the Howard government moved legislation to ban the euthanasia bill that had been carried by the Northern Territory Parliament. And when that was happening, it was to me, though I was non-religious, I was lobbied and I saw the lobbying going on by Christian lobby groups to vote that bill down and using Christian views to say this is not proper. Now, I think in the end it had some influence that though it was a conscience vote in the parliament, thank goodness, on the issue, the bill in the end was carried to abolish what the Northern Territory Parliament had democratically carried.
That's right.
So, and the one particular issue that we really are strong about, is using taxpayers' money to give, like, the chaplaincy program, using that money that advantages a particular religion, using all of our money. And as I say, that is, to us, a very perfect example of why our secularists are arguing that that program should be abolished. Yeah. And $1 billion that was spent since 2007 could have been better spent actually on other issues that everybody could have gone in the
advantage. Well, look, Chris, I think between you and me, there'd be a lot of people of faith that would agree with you on that for certain. Look, I thank you for your time. I said we could talk for 4 hours. We can't. We've got other commitments we've got to get to, but I appreciate it, and I look forward to speaking again down the track.
I know. I thank you very much. Anytime.
Thanks, Chris. That's Chris Schott there, from the National Secular Lobby. Interesting stuff to discuss.
I'm Dr. Theo Spirakis from Bexley Dental. I've dedicated the last 10 years of my life to studying implant dentistry. I've travelled the globe to learn from the world's most respected clinicians, including Professor Paulo Malo, founder of the All-on-4 procedure in Portugal. It changed my life and allows me to change the life of my patients, enabling them to smile again with confidence. Why wait? Change your smile and your life today. Book your free 30-minute All-on-4 consultation now at bexleydental.com.au.